maybe we just start with a moment of prayer. And the reason is that when I was, we were just talking, to somebody earlier about old Father Trey, when he was first ordained, his first Mass and all that. And I was thinking, the very first time that I was ordained in 1974, and I was sent to East Los Angeles, which was an all Spanish part of the city at that time. It still is, actually. And so I knew Spanish, but I was just starting to learn it. And so, but the first Sunday I was there, the pastor had me preach at all the Masses in Spanish. Get ready, Gustavo, get ready, buddy. So I prepared and prepared and prepared, and then came the day, and so I'm up there, and it was a small little church, and I'm talking and talking, and people are looking and looking. And after Mass, I walked out, and people walked up, this lady walked up to me, and she says, "Oh, Padre," she said, "you spoke so beautifully in Spanish." And so I heard, and I said, "Oh, well, thank you very much." She said, "Would you come to my house for coffee?" And so inside myself, I thought, "Wow, I'm pretty good." And then I went to her house for coffee, and then her daughter came in, Ermila, and she introduced me to Ermila. And then we're talking a few minutes, and she looked at Ermila, and she says, "Ay, mija," she says, "if only you had been there, Father spoke so beautifully." And without blinking, and so the daughter looks at her mother and says, "Well," she asked her the fatal question. She said, "Well, what did Father talk about?" Well, without blinking an eye, the mother looks at her daughter and said, "Oh, he spoke to us all about St. Jude." Well, I had never mentioned St. Jude. And the thought of St. Jude had never passed my mind. But I learned something very important that day. That dear lady needed to hear about St. Jude, and it didn't matter what I said. So, and that's the truth. You know, it's God who brought each of you here. God knows your heart. God knows the word. Each of you and each of us need to hear. So we'll just take a minute and just ask that God and his great kindness to speak to us this day, the word that personally and intimately each of us, that God desires to speak to our hearts this day. Continue a little bit where we were this morning. We're talking about communio, etc. And you know, one of the things about the Trinity is that probably, as you were growing up, if somebody asked you, "Well, what is the Trinity?" you might say Father, Son, and Spirit, and then you would probably say, "But it's a mystery," which then ended the conversation. What else are you going to say? It's a mystery. Now it's over. Now we'll talk about something else. Which is actually a pretty normal thing to think about. But actually, one time when I was at another parish in South Central Los Angeles a number of years ago, we actually had the experience of one day this, we had many marriages, many anniversaries of marriages, etc. So one day this couple came in, a younger couple, and they said, "Padre, we'd like to have I think it was going to be their 70th or something like that, 65th or 70th wedding anniversary of our parents." And so I said, "Oh, sure, that'd be great. And they said, "Well, we'd like to do a little something different." I said, "Oh, yeah, great, what's that?" And they said, "We'd like to all walk in with our parents." And I said, "Oh, well, that's good." And they said, "Well," I said, "our parents had 13 children. There's 13 of us." I said, "Well, that's good." And then he said, "And all of us married." I said, "Oh, that's great." And then they said, "And all of us had a lot of children." But I was never good at math, so this was not calculating. So I said, "Oh, that's no problem. That's good. So anyway, the day arrived, the day for this anniversary. So it was a big, long church, unlike the first church I've done. It's a big church, marble stair, all that stuff. So I went out, and there was a vestibule, and I went out, and doors to the vestibule closed, so I went out to meet them. And I had not met the parents yet, so I walked all the way down to the end of this big aisle, and I opened the door, and literally, there's this very beautiful little Mexican couple. You know, he's standing there all dressed up with his, cane, bastón. And the lady is very pious. She has a shawl on, and she's very small. And I looked behind her, and literally, there was literally about 270 people. And all of them had emerged from this little couple. So the thing is, so they started up the aisle. I walked there first, and they're going up the aisle, and the band was walking along, and they were. So we got up to the, I went up first, and there was three steps up to the altar where they were going to be kneeling or sitting or whatever. And so they started coming up the steps, all these people behind him. And they got right to the top step, and the man sort of started to lose his balance and like fall backwards. So I reached out, I grabbed him, and I pulled him back in. At which point, he looked at me and said, "Ay, padre," he said, "I was trying to get away." At that point, his wife went, "Father, I will never understand this man." That is mystery, you see? That's what the church means by mystery. She knew this guy very well. Well, what she was saying, I could live another 100 years with him, and I'd still be wondering what the heck is he thinking about. See, that's what we mean by the mystery of the Trinity. It's not that it doesn't, that we can't understand the Trinity, but it's that no matter how far you go, how deep you live and go into the mystery, it's always something new light, new peace, new vision. So with that understanding, one of the things that in more recent times is we've started to talk about the Trinity as God as family and community. God as family and God as community. So we are created in the image and likeness of God, the scripture says. And therefore, if that is the case, our destiny and our happiness is to live in family and community. That living an isolated, seeking God, like it might be good for certain people in very unusual circumstances, but the way God made us is that together we're to go towards God, and not only by ourselves, but with everybody who's going before us. And one time I was giving a parish mission with the Yaqui Indians in the South Tucson Desert, and the mission was on our spiritual journey. So I was talking to these fourth graders in this little hut, and so I drew a picture of a triangle up here, and then a long walkway, and then a little stick person down here. And I said to them, I said, "Now see, this is our journey to God. You know, see, here you are, and there's God." And then all of a sudden, this little fella raised his hand. His name was Chris. He was like 9 years old. And he said, "Father Dennis," "that's wrong." I thought, well, you know, I'm the priest here. What do you think that's wrong? And all of a sudden, he said, "No, Father, we never go on our journey to God alone. We go with all of our ancestors."
Wow.
See? And he was right, and I was wrong. What I had unconsciously drawn was a very capitalist idea of God. God is the big prize. I'm going to win it. And I hope everybody else makes it if they can do it. But see, that isn't the image of likeness of God that God presents to us. It's only when we journey together that we get to be who we are and what we're supposed to be and where we're supposed to be going. So that's the notion of God as family and community. So again, going back to this icon, which again, if you are familiar with it, it's the icon of the Trinity by a fellow named Andrei Rublev. It's a Russian holy man. And it's just a few little things about the icon. It's, you could talk to this about a long time, but It's a perfect community. In other words, they've done all these very careful studies and prayer and all. In other words, all of the wings touch perfectly in the right place. Everything is exactly the same. They're interesting enough, all the faces are the same, and all the faces are androgynous. They're neither male nor female. And so it's this perfect community, but it's open. The nature of the community of God is open. In other words, they don't present God with the back to us, and we're sort of left there looking. The invitation is that we are enter this community, that we're allowed, that we're invited to enter this community. And in the middle, this is the Russian altar, and right in the middle, you can't really tell too well from this picture, but is a Russian paten, a paten that we use at Mass, and that is, in a queer picture, the head of the Lamb. That's the Lamb of God. And so, basically, this is what it is. Now, then there is a chalice actually there. If you're in the state of grace, you'll be able to see this chalice. If you're not, I'm sorry. But see, I'll tell you. Look at Christine. Oh, I gotta find this chalice. Okay. No, just if you just follow my finger, they've done all these studies.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a chalice. And so this unity of the Father, the Son, and this is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, the unity of the Father, Son, and Spirit around the Lamb slain for love of us, and we're invited to be a part of it. Their unity creates life. Their unity creates life, and we're invited to be a part of that life. Yes, dear.
I just recently heard something about this picture, that in the center there was some type of a smudge, like something had been attached, and they believe it was a mirror.
Oh, yes.
You look at the mirror then.
Yes, it would be the same body. Actually, that I think that they're set, it's right here, I think, they're talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. And they're, sometimes it's pictured as a mirror. And another place, it's another way of understanding it, it's also the place where the bones of the martyrs are kept. Uh-huh. So in other words, we're also part of that. So it's either we're seeing ourselves, or we're invited to be a part of it, in any case, no matter how it is. So this chalice, the chalice of life. And then it's an invitation to divine and intimate hospitality that, we have the three, this of course is the visit of the three strangers to Abraham's house, to the tent of Abraham. Mm-hmm. This is the terebinth of Mamre. That's the terebinth tree. This is Abraham's tent. Mm-hmm. And the three strangers come, and if you remember, Abraham welcomes them into his house with Sarah. And they come into the house, and there they eat, and they drink, and they share this time with Abraham and Sarah. And at the end, they say, this time next year, you will have a child, the child of the promise, Isaac. And so it's this intimacy, this hospitality, this life creates new life. So communio is shared. This is from San Agustín de Hipona. I forgot to put that in English. Anyway. You are the body, this is St. Augustine of Hippo, of course. You are the body of Christ. In you and through you, the work of the incarnation must go forward. You are to be taken, you are to be blessed, broken, and given, that you may be the means of grace and the vehicles of the eternal love. Behold what you are, become what you receive. When we talk about this communio, the communio that we receive in the Eucharist nourishes us so that we may be that which God has created us to be. And it's all part of that living the mystery of the Trinity. So what are the implications of this? Well, three, and then we're almost going to take a little break here. There's three. This actually is a picture of, this is Father Judge right here, actually. And this is some of the early people that were down there with him, then some of the early sisters, some of the lay missionaries, etc.
That's Mother Boniface too, up there, right? On the right?
On the right, where, yes, and this is Mother Boniface.
Yeah, the first, the cluster, yeah.
Yeah, she's the founders of the sisters community, mm-hmm. with Father Judge. Mm-hmm. And
was that a member of the Boston Red Sox?
I thought we did.
That's it.
Boston baseball, you know.
There you go.
It's Brooklyn.
Oh, they were very proud of their team.
That's not the Dodgers. I think it's the Dodgers. Yeah, it's the Brooklyn.
Well, it was probably the Black Sox of those days. I don't know. But in any case, this is actually, Maureen might even recognize this. This is Alabama.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Recognize the pine trees.
That's it. And, but the idea, and the reason I thought this is a good picture, is a good thing to think about, is just simply this. Father Judge, like that first picture, remember the first picture of Comunio where Jesus is there with the men, the women, everybody is there, so the kids are all sitting there together. That's sort of God's vision for the world. And that's what humanity is made for that. We're made for communio, family, or community. And so Father Judge didn't found just an order of sisters or just an order of priests. And very much like what you are experiencing. St. Benedict didn't found just a group of monks. He had St. Scholastica with sisters. And then the sisters and brothers together helped to create the lay missionary and the lay out hopefully. So that's all part of it. It's not just, well, that was a nice idea. It's actually how God made us to be. The second implication of this is the goal of communio is the great banquet at the end of time. How do we know if we're getting to communio or not? Well, you know, this is actually the picture of, any of you all been to Rome? What is it? Santa Maria de Trastevere? I can never say it.
Trastevere.
This is the church of Santa Maria Trastevere, mm-hmm. which is actually an ancient old church that is actually run, or it's the center of a thing called the San Egidio communities now. And the San Egidio communities, what they do is they're lay-run communities, very much supported by the Holy Father, both all of them, John, Benedict, and Francis. And what they do is they regularly clear out the church and they have a great banquet for all the poor. And that's a regular thing they do. And some people would say, oh, that's sacrilegious, right? That's not a right thing to do. This is an ancient, beautiful church. The whole point is, this is exactly what this God's deepest desire is for us. That all of God's people can sit together as brothers and sisters, and all are welcome at the table. So the second thing is that this is the goal of communio, is that great banquet where we all sit together as sisters and brothers. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing is the church's mission is therefore to welcome all to the banquet, especially the most marginalized. That our mission in life, and that's what I was having a beautiful talk with Maureen. She was explaining what she's doing in the neighborhood where she lives and works. And it's that reaching out to those, especially those who feel least loved, least cared for, least, who just feel on the edge, like nobody really cares if they're there or not. It's exactly that willingness to reach out. It's not just a nice thing to do. It's actually the very heart of the mission of Jesus. So you might say, oh, it's an I make food, or I do this, or I do that for the next door neighbor, whatever it is. Or I go to visit somebody in the hospital. It's not just a nice thing to do, it's actually the very heart of the mission of Jesus. And so that's what that's about. So, well, it's 1:34. You've all been very patient right after lunch. I think it's time for a break. We still have no rain. We have a nice, you can take a nice journey around the property or do what you like. And then I think at 2:30.
That was the last conference.
We'll get back together and And also the sisters told me, tell everybody about your gift shop.
Oh, okay. Very nice.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they're wonderful ladies. They're very happy to be here, have you all here. So, okay, well, we'll come back when we come back at 2:30, but we're going to look at something very practical.
Okay.
And it is the power of the seven steps. In other words, what is it that blocks communio, and how do we overcome that? And especially forgiveness. Forgiveness. How do we deal with questions of forgiveness? And so, anyway, well, that'll be our last little talk for it's seven steps, and so we'll only have 30 minutes.
Nice.
So that's 4 minutes.
So we're going to be on time.
Plus introduction.